But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like one who serves. In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, about a year ago, I officiated a casual outdoor wedding, and literally seconds before the service, this little kid snuck up to me and he asked me a question. What's the deal with the costume? He was clearly confused by my clerical collar and the long flowing robe, and so I explained to him that I was a priest. And after telling me how cool he thought that was, he then demanded to see my best magic trick. Apparently, he hadn't yet learned the subtle differences between being a priest and being a wizard. And so I had to explain that as the priest, I would be officiating the ceremony, and something about that seemed to register because it took this kid all of 2 seconds to fire off another 6 questions. Oh, so you're the I do guy. Wait, aren't you too young to be an I do guy? How old are you? How much do you charge? Have you always wanted to be an I do guy? And then the kicker, he got really serious and looked at me very skeptically and said, "Are you a professional?" Now, I'm okay being the I do guy. And being mistaken for a wizard, it's not my favorite, but a professional, is that what we are? For those who will be ordained deacon this day, it is an important question to ask. What exactly does it mean to be a deacon? And I believe that a deacon has 2 essential callings which cannot be separated, but that have their proper order. And this may sound scandalous, but the primary calling of a deacon is not to serve God, and it's not to serve other people. You see, in today's gospel, which takes place at the Passover supper the night before Jesus dies, the disciples get in a fight over which one of them happens to be the greatest. And we've got to wonder how this dispute began. I mean, did Thaddeus elbow Peter when passing the lamb and announce, as Muhammad Ali did, "I'm not the greatest, I'm the double greatest"? We don't know. But this dispute arises, and Jesus' primary response is to say that the greatest must become like the youngest. And Jesus' teaching here, it echoes Luke chapter 9, where Jesus embraces a child and says that if you want to be great, you've got to become like a child. And so that is the meaning of Jesus' teaching here. The eldest must become like the youngest. We must become like a child. Now, Jesus is not saying that we need to become more creative or trusting or innocent, as great as all of these things may be, but as Luke Timothy Johnson notes, it is the powerlessness of a child that Christ would have us welcome. You see, children, they utterly depend on someone else to serve them. A child is not on a mission to give. A child is not on a mission to serve, but they live their lives with hands wide open, asking to receive. And what Jesus would have his quarreling disciples know is that if they want to be great, they must first, before they do anything else, become like a child. The greatest must become like the youngest. Now, I'm not saying that you are called to ask other people to serve you, right? Far from it. Because today's gospel ends with Jesus declaring, "I am among you as one who serves." I am among you, Jesus says, as one who serves. And there are only 2 ways that we can interpret what Jesus says here. We can make it into a moral lesson if we want to do that. "I'm a servant," says our teacher. "Now go and do likewise." Or We can hear these words as a radical statement about the nature of God and let the Son of Man serve us. You see, as Christians, we believe that God is triune, and that from all eternity, each person, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, has glorified, honored, and loved the other two. And so within the very being of God, we believe there is an other orientation, which means that in going to the cross and dying for our sins, Jesus wasn't disguising who God is, but Jesus was revealing who God is. The ultimate servant, the most humble being in the entire universe. And that's why the fundamental question of Christianity is not, will we serve God? But will we become a child? And will we let God serve us? St. John recounts another incident in the upper room the night before Jesus dies, where Jesus wants to wash his disciples' feet. And as you may recall, Peter objects, "You will never wash my feet, Lord." Now, on the outside, this incident's kind of funny, right? I mean, Peter embarrasses himself again. But I would say that nothing is more crucial in the life of a deacon than how you respond to Jesus' request. Will you let him wash you? Because unless I wash you, unless I serve you, Jesus told Peter, you have no share with me. Because as a deacon, your vocation is to proclaim the gospel. And that word gospel, it doesn't mean good advice. And it certainly doesn't mean good moral teaching. The word gospel means good news. It means good news. And so, yes, there may be a time in your ministry to tell people, Jesus served the poor, the weak, the sick, and the lonely. Now, go and do likewise. But let's be clear, that's not good news. That's a moral challenge. But I'll tell you what's news. That despite the mask we wear that says that we are rich and we are strong and we are healthy and we are satisfied, that in reality we are poor and we are sick and we are weak and we are lonely, but thank God Almighty, our Lord Jesus Christ, He lives to serve us. You see, whenever Jesus says, "I am among you as one who serves," the Greek word translated serves is diakoneo, which is where we get the word deacon. "I am among you," Jesus says, "as a deacon." Now, to the extent that we understand that our first call is always to let Christ serve us, we are safely on good grounds to speak of a deacon's second calling, which flows organically from the first. For as we become like the youngest, we start to understand that leadership means becoming like one who serves. Because as Jesus himself once said, "Where I am, there my servant," or "there my deacon will be also." Where I am, there my servant will be also. And of course we know where Jesus is always most at home: amongst the poor, the weak, the sick, and the lonely. You see, a deacon's call is also, as our prayer book states, to interpret to the church the needs, concerns, and hopes of our world. To interpret the hopes, concerns, and needs of our world. And let me just say, we don't need a list. And we don't need a verbal interpretation of how we can help, because the best meaning of that word interpret is to bring about the meaning of something through drama or performance. To bring about the meaning of something through drama or performance. It's in the phrase interpretive dance, which, by the way, a deacon must never do. Not in this diocese, right? But my point is that as Jesus washes your feet, you are to dramatically reenact the gospel in such a way that we all know the needs, concerns, and hopes of this world and are inspired to join you on the mission field in meeting them. As Dorothy Day once put it, we are called to live our life in such a way that our life just doesn't make any sense unless the story we are proclaiming is true. Because we also are called to serve the world in Jesus' name. We're all called to serve the world in Jesus' name. But a deacon's call is to live in such a way that she dramatically interprets and performs the gospel for us, so much so that our minds are changed about how we're living. And we feel called to join you on that mission field. Because there are really only two views out there about what it means to live a fully human, abundant life. There is the Western view that we all inherit, which says, maximize pleasure, minimize pain, be nice, follow the rules, mind your business, and pursue your own dream. And then there's Jesus' view. Lose your life for me and for the sake of the gospel, and you'll find it. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added to you. Now, as hard as we are all trying to mesh these two views together, they're not compatible. Abundant life is either found in giving our life away to others as God gives his life to us, or it's not. But I believe that it is. But like everyone else gathered today, I need help with my unbelief. I need help with my unbelief. And a deacon is called to live such a selfless life of service that we all know the gospel is true and are inspired to join you on the mission field. And so for those who will be consecrated deacons this day, I'm going to ask you to stand. You are committing yourself to an awesome trust and responsibility. Never forget that Jesus is among you as a deacon. Let him set a table for you. It'll move your heart and change your life so much so that you will become a living sacrifice for other people. Make intimacy with God the hallmark of your ministry as you live your life as a child, with hands and heart open to the world and to God. Know the good news in your heart. Know it in your heart, and your life and your words will naturally proclaim it. Tell the poor that through Jesus' poverty they have become rich, and tell the weak that Jesus' strength is made perfect in them. Remind the sick that those who are well have no need of a physician, and tell the lonely that Christ is with them always, even to the end of the age. But do so, not standing above them, but on bended knee, with towel wrapped around your waist as you wash their feet. After all, it is Christ himself who washes yours. And if you want to be great, if you want to be great, you must become like the youngest. You see, it's not that to be faithful as a deacon, you can't be a professional, but to be faithful as a deacon, you can't be an adult.